Hey everybody, this is Nisha, your host at Drive Through HR, the number one internet daily radio show for the HR professionals. And today my partners in crime, William Tinkup and Brian Swanson, are not available. They are doing great work out there, and so I'm here to do a solo with our wonderful friend from India. So this is the third person that we are introducing from Indian HR community. I know that for the past few weeks, you have had Easter Martins and then Subhash Khare from Wipro. So now we are having an amazing friend and Indian HR expert, Tanmay Vora. Hey, Tanmay, welcome to the show.
Hey, Nisha. Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me on the show, and I'm really, really excited.
Well, we are so honored to have you here, and I know you are doing a fantastic job out there. So, so let's do us a favor, do our audience a favor. Would you please introduce yourself so that our audience can know a little bit about you?
Well, I like to call myself a blogger, author, a quality evangelist, and a social media influencer. In 2013, so just last week, I was recognized by SHR in India as amongst one of the top three Indian HR influencers on social media. Last year as well, I was in top five. I blog at Key Aspire Blog, which I founded in 2006, purely as a platform to document my lessons on whatever I was learning in terms of managing team, leading people, and you know, driving initiatives. I was learning so much, and I felt I need to document this lesson somewhere, and that's how Key Aspire came into picture. And now at Key Aspire Blog, I combine my passion of writing and teaching with my deep interest in excellent leadership, people, and generally speaking, the human aspect of building a quality-oriented culture, a culture of excellence. Professionally, I lead the corporate quality program at a company called Signex Datamatics. They are a global leader in open source system integration. I have about 15 years of experience now where I have led quality programs. I have managed teams. I have provided process consulting to customers in India and Europe. I have driven improvement initiatives, and my specialization is starting new initiatives from scratch and forming new teams. That's my specialization, and I love doing that every single time. So in 2009, I wrote my first book titled Quality Tweet, which was published from Santa Clara, and I've been a regular contributor. So I contribute my writing to various blogs, magazines, and books. Last year, I wrote a 30-page chapter on building a quality-oriented culture in American Society for Training and Development's Management Development Handbook. It was published from Virginia, and I tweet as TMO. I like writing short stories. I like reading. Photography is my newfound passion, and I currently live in Ahmedabad, India. So, yeah, that's about it.
Well, that's awesome, and congratulations to you for getting recognized by Shrem as a top 20 Indian HR influencers on social media.
Thank you so much.
Cool. So let's talk about the main subject. What's keeping you up at night these days from an HR perspective? Or you can drive that into probably what's keeping your clients up at night, or probably what's keeping your management, your organization, whatever you want to talk about from an HR perspective. What is that?
All right. So this is a very interesting question, and the one that I love answering. So, you know, if you plot a Venn diagram with two sets, one being quality and the other being HR, then there is a very small area of intersection. And that is my sort of sweet spot. That's where I operate. So what keeps me up at night is the human side of delivering quality. You know, that's because in a knowledge-driven economy, and our world of work has really changed from being, industry or manufacturing-driven economy to now being knowledge-driven economy. And I'm I continue to be amazed at how important people are at the in how services are being delivered. And you know, it may sound a little cliche, but people are the most important asset. Having seen you know, so many successful and failed projects in India and abroad with my customers in Europe, I'm more than convinced that, you know, initiatives fail or not. They are not because of technical challenges, but because of people challenges. And so what really interests me and what I keep thinking about, this whole idea of building a culture of excellence at an organization level, further at a team level, and then, you know, individual relationship between a manager and an employee. So that's what keeps me up at night. I keep exploring topics like employee engagement, lean HR, and how it can help HR departments and HR teams become more effective.
Well, that's great. And during the pre-show, you talked about lean HR and your initiatives in doing that. And a big shout out to one of my friends, Dwayne Lane. He's also an evangelist in terms of bringing Six Sigma and lean HR initiatives. And he wrote a book about it named Lean HR. So I'd like to know more details about how Indian HR industry is I haven't heard that many people talking about lean HR initiatives in their HR function. So would you please take us a little about what are your initiatives that are, that you are doing at your organization from a lean HR perspective in terms of building a culture of excellence, as you said?
Right. So I think, you know, lean as a manufacturing, it came from manufacturing, but it is a fantastic concept that can be mapped with how HR teams operate. And, you know, one of the first things I think that comes to our mind when we talk about lean is eliminating waste. And we say that, you know, we have to do everything that we do as a part of our HR processes or about, you know, everything that we do there has to be tied up with, you know, one or the other business objective. And I was hearing this conversation that Esther Martinez was having on her interaction with you. I think she mentioned that, you know, what she has observed is that in India and in China and in other geographies, HR really has to move beyond activities and they need to focus on results. And I think that is the area where lean HR can really help. So lean practices can be implemented in HR so that every single process that an HR team member does in the organization adds value to the organization, number one, and number two, is mapped to the business objective, because it is very easy for an HR professional to give up to the all the frenzy of activities going on, you know, in so many areas that they work in. But the most important thing is that every single process element has to be mapped with a very specific business objective. And you know, I have devised processes within my organization and within other organizations where we start from top down and we say, what are the business objectives that you're trying to achieve? And, you know, we say, if we were to achieve these objectives, what are the three things that we need to measure? And what are the process areas that will help us, you know, measure these things? So what happens is the entire process is structured around business objectives. So that is number one. You know, so when you do that, you will always be driven by a strong purpose, and you know, and process becomes a very important tool for HR practitioners to meet those objectives. So that's the top of my head right now. There are other ways where I've seen HR teams, you know, using initiatives like Kaizen for employee engagement and improvement. So one of the ways to drive employee engagement is to use Kaizen, which is, you know, basically Kaizen is a Japanese term, which means continuous improvement. And, you know, so while we always feel that we're improving, right, are we improving in the right area? And that's what Kaizen really addresses, you know. So I have seen Indian HR professionals and HR people driving employee engagement through these Kaizen programs. So that is really the heart of how Lean operates. One of the other things is somewhere along the lines, one of my observations has been that HR professionals, as I say, it's too easy to get into the frenzy of activities and forget that we work, if we are HR, people are our customers. So, you know, there is a very interesting concept in Lean called Jemba. Jemba is basically the place where the real work gets done. What we see often is that, you know, HR professionals are far, far away from how business really operates. And so they end up doing a lot of tactical activity and they fail to focus on the strategy part of it. So this whole concept of Jemba means that it helps to, you know, pay a visit to the place within your organization where the real work happens. Few things happen. One is it fosters collaboration and communication between HR and the team, and it drives a lot of employee engagement. Then HR will be able to understand how business really operates, what really fits the business, and what really works, and how does the business operate. So, I think if I talk about the top three concepts of Lean that can be applied in HR, I think one of them is obviously elimination of waste. Using Kaizen programs at a team level for driving employee engagement and improvement. And third is this chamber where HR professionals need to really pay visit to where the real work gets done within the organization and within their own teams.
Well, that's interesting. And one particular note I would like to take from your end most of the time HR is finding a little trouble when they deal with change, right? So when you're dealing with change management, what are your takes or what are your advice in terms of what's your advice in terms of applying these Lean HR initiatives or best practices to handle that change effectively?
All right, that's a really great question, and I think change, as you know, is the only constant. What I have seen is that when there's a lot of change happening around, it's easy to fall in the trap of resisting the change. So I think from an HR perspective, agility is one thing that I really and agility is again Lean is agile and it's all about responsiveness to change. The primary driver of change from an HR perspective is results. And when I talk about change, right? I think it's also about the final end result. What I mean to say here is change from an HR perspective, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's just say if you're gonna do some, as you talked about the process improvement areas, let's just say we or the HR is going to launch a particular software or a particular system, let's say performance management system. So far, the people are doing everything manually. I'm just taking it as a small example, but then you can take into a different area if you wanted to. So far, they've been doing this performance management in a manual process. And then a system has installed, a process has come into place, a lot of confusions and ambiguity in place. People have to be educated and have to be communicated properly in terms of how to use this effectively, and especially from a manager's side as well, so that they can highlight the effective use of this particular tool, as well as they can save time. But at the same time, that integrity should be there when you talk about that performance management system. So I'm just taking this as a process improvement or a process change or something that you wanted to directly highlight. And how do you use this Lean HR initiative when you're dealing with a change? That's one of my questions.
Right, got it. So, what happens is being into process improvement and having worked on, a lot of process improvements over the last 15 years, right, I can vouch for one thing, that, implementing change is really difficult. It takes a lot of time. And I think I want to address one really important point here, which is when you're implementing a change, the managing the emotional aspect of change is more important than the change itself.
Okay.
Because when people are asked to change, when people are asked to adopt new systems or new ways of working or new ways of thinking, they are essentially threatened. They have to go out of their comfort zone and embrace a new way of working, right? So according to me, what I have observed is, you really have to generate the buy-in by managing the emotional aspect of change more than the change itself, And the way to drive that change is that, and most changes are never going to be short-term changes. So if you're talking about long-term changes, it helps to, take a 3 or 4 step approach. And that is that whenever there is a change which is being envisaged, right, it helps to prepare an organization's, cultural fabric around that change. So it helps if, senior leadership within the HR teams and within the organization and the chief officers and executive officers, right, they're talking about this change well in advance. So people have to be first, we have to set the expectations that there is a change that's going to come. And then we have to generate the buying of the change, which means that people really need to be told in so many words that why is this change important and what benefits will this change result in, and so on. So sometimes change being able to change is all is directly related to survival of and how a department operates. Second is it helps to create a very detailed level of plan and phases of how this change is going to be implemented. And this plan has to explain in detail the purpose and expected impact of the change. After the plan is created, then there is execution where, as I said, you manage people's emotion by acknowledging the pain of change. Say, I know this is tough, but, this is how I can help you. So there is a lot of facilitation and handholding that goes into implementing a change. And finally, one of the things that has always worked for me is show them the low-hanging fruit, which means that you're implementing a change. If they don't see results in a shorter time frame, people often get very disengaged, saying, okay, we are doing this change, but it's not helping us. It's not delivering the kind of results that we want to see, so they get disengaged. So early win and low-hanging fruits, as I call it, helps them buy the change in and really take it up from there. I read a very interesting quote which says that people don't hate change, they hate how you're trying to change them.
Interesting. Well, that's great. That's a great insight, Tanmay. Well, I'm going to do a quick reset, everybody. You're listening to Drive Through HR, and this is Misha. We are talking with our wonderful guest, Tanmay Vora, and we are discussing about quality and change management from an HR perspective in an organization. So let's talk about these strategies for building a quality-oriented culture. You wrote a book about it. You wrote a book about from quality to excellence. So
So what are the essential strategies, or what are the important techniques for building a quality-oriented culture?
All right, that's again a question that I really love answering all the time.
Great.
So first I will like to talk a little more about what I understand as culture. And what I have seen is that if you look at organizations like Apple, or if you look at organizations like Microsoft, or in India, if you look at organizations like Infosys and Mindtree and those kind of organizations, right? What we have consistently seen is that an organization is an elongated shadow of a leader. So as a leader, right, as somebody who's the top leader of the organization, your beliefs, your opinions, your likes and dislikes, they become the culture of your organization. So I'm a CEO. I may decide to run my company purely by controlling the cost, or I may be running my company based on the fact that I want to really develop people. So it's that thinking which builds the culture of an organization. So it is very important for a leader to exhibit the right opinions, beliefs, likes and dislikes to build the culture. I think that's the starting point. And so it takes to be really careful about what kind of organization one wants to build. Especially if organizations or companies are in startup phase, I think that's the best time to really think about what kind of organization we want to build. But the other thing about culture is that culture is a natural outgrowth of choices that founders and leaders have made in the starting phase of the organization. And I would like to quote the example of a company that I really admire here. It's a company called Mindtree in India, and I'm sure you have heard about it. The founders of Mindtree, before they started the company and they started their operations, they spent about 3 months just thinking about what kind of business or what kind of organization they want to build. And they said that it is easy to build a business, which is more of a transaction. You sell something, you get paid in return. There's a difference between just building a business and building a high-performance organization. And when I say high-performance organization, it is an organization that really focuses on customers, focuses on value, focuses on developing the people, having a process mindset right at the initiation phase. So I have seen so many companies that pay enough attention to the process infrastructure. Because what happens is, people, I have, the strong belief that people are at the core of how excellence is delivered. And all the processes that an organization uses, the process is just like any other infrastructure. It is something that makes people more effective. But it is never a substitute of competence. So organization culture around excellence is built by this belief that people are at the core of how excellence is delivered, and process is just a tool that makes them more effective.
That's an interesting take, Tanmay. And most often people always talk about, when you hire people, hire for the culture fit, the candidate that is suitable for the culture of the organization. But how do you judge that? When you valuing competencies and culture, how do you value that culture and hire a candidate based on the culture fit?
So there are a few thoughts that immediately come to my mind. An organization, I mean, what I have seen is that it helps to clarify your values. What is it that you value? I have seen people hiring the team members based on skills, versus I've seen people hiring the team members based on the kind of attitude that they show. You know, people hire the team members based on you know, their ability to make a positive difference in the team members' life. So, for example, you're hiring a manager, right? And what, the thing about culture is that while it starts at the top, it always you know, percolates down from the top. But if you do not have middle management, so I call it that middle management is the glue that binds the strategy at the top with actions at the bottom. And and so half of your culture issue is resolved if you hire the right people in your middle management. And the way to do that is to first establish your own value system. What is it that you value? And you know, then talk to people from that standpoint of those values and see how they reciprocate. You know, evaluate them, and you can actually see their past performance and how they have exhibited those values in their day to day work.
Great, that is, that's interesting. So, do you have any particular advice to those leaders or just management people to stop doing something, you know, when it comes to delivering a quality or building a culture of excellence, as you talked about, you know, just one advice. Okay, just stop doing that.
I think my top advice is this: that stop treating people as resources. Stop treating people as cogs in your large machinery. And the thing about process is that it automates the work so much that, you know, sometimes you feel that, you know, people are just resources, replaceable parts of this large machinery. Stop treating them like that, and you will see a different level of engagement by just treating people as, you know, living, breathing, emotionally rich human beings and not just resources.
Well, that's interesting. So is there any particular tools or techniques that you wanted to share right now that people should check, or people should, go ahead and have a look at it so that they can utilize that in their organization?
I think, with change being more rapid, it helps to, it helps to understand the fundamentals of how agility works. The most important thing for being effective in today's hyper-competitive environment is to automate as much as possible. And again, this tracks back to the lean arguments that I put forward. So the more you automate, the more your people can focus on the real people issues and less on how something needs to be done. If tool can take care of how something needs to be done, then, you know, the HR teams and people within the HR groups can really focus on more meaty issues like people issues and building a culture of excellence and so on and so forth.
Well, that's interesting. So we have about 1 minute left. Where do people find you, connect with you, and where can people find more details about your book?
So people can find all details about me at my website, which is qaspire.com. It is qaspire.com. People can follow me on Twitter. I'm at TNVORA on Twitter. And people can see my photography at flickr.com/TNVORA.
Well, thank you so much, Tanmay, for joining with us today. And it's been really an honor to have you here with us today.
Thank you, Nisha. It was great interacting with you.
Great. There you have, guys. We'll talk to you all tomorrow. Thank you. Bye-bye.